Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
But now, as you've been hearing this morning, Israel's government has ratified a ceasefire with the Palestinian militant group Hamas, clearing the way to suspend hostilities in Gaza and free Israeli hostages held in Gaza within 72 hours. And we have had confirmation from the Israelis that the military operation has ceased and that ceasefire is in place since 9 a.m. Let's get some analysis now. I'm joined by Gershon Baskin, who's co-founder and co-director of the Alliance for Two States. Gershon has advised both Israeli, Palestinian and international prime ministers on the Middle East peace process. Good morning to you and thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning.
Do you believe that the war is ending now?
I think so. I think from what we understand about the deal that was signed and the arrangements that are being made as we speak will put an end to the war. Not only have both sides agreed to the declaration of the end of the war and the mechanism for releasing Palestinian prisoners and Israeli hostages, there will soon be an announcement of a new Palestinian government in Gaza, a non-Hamas government. There will be the deployment of a multinational force in Gaza. We've heard including 200 American personnel, but there will be other Arab participants from Egypt, Jordan, the United Arab Emirates, perhaps other countries, Turkey, Morocco, as well as some European participation as well. And that will serve as a kind of a buffer that will prevent Israel from attacking Gaza after the hostages are released and will protect Israel from Hamas attacks against Israel after the declaration of the war being over.
Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, it is wonderful if we are at this point and if it holds. But you believe that it could have been done much sooner, back in September of last year, in fact.
In September of 2024, Hamas basically agreed to the same terms. At that time, the Biden administration was trying to negotiate a partial deal that would release part of the group of hostages, not all of them. I thought it was a bad deal. I was approached in August of last year by hostage families asking me if I could speak to Hamas to work out a better deal, and I did. I got an agreement in writing from them in Arabic and English, a voice message clarifying that they support the deal. I tried to get it out there. First, the Israeli side said that Prime Minister Netanyahu refuses to end the war. The Qataris and the Egyptians said they would only take action if the Americans accepted it. It got to the desk of President Biden, but his point man on the negotiations, Brett McGurk, wouldn't even look at it. He was busy negotiating the bad deal. I went to Qatar. I met with the Qataris. They had known about the deal, but they said they couldn't move on it unless the United States picked it up. Mm-hmm. And no one would. It was very unfortunate. We went public with it. I got a few Israeli generals to support it, but there was no traction.
And what do you think has changed now?
President Trump. That's what changed. Mm-hmm. President Trump, once he decided that he should no longer accept the Israeli idea that Israel can force Hamas to surrender. This was motivated primarily after the Israeli attack in Doha, trying to assassinate the Hamas leadership. President Trump simply made the decision that the war has to end. And after the UN General Assembly meeting, when Netanyahu appeared in the Oval Office, Trump made Netanyahu call the Qatari Prime Minister to apologize. Trump scripted it, told Netanyahu what to say. And then when the cameras left the room, he told Netanyahu, the war is over and you're going to agree to it. And then the Americans with Steve Witkoff got the Qataris, the Egyptians, and brought in the Turks to do a full court press on Hamas to agree to the deal. And Trump did something unprecedented when Hamas said yes, but Trump put out in his Truth Social that Hamas said yes. And he basically locked Israel and Hamas into the deal. The parties forced both sides to show up in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt to finalize it, and history was made.
So, but can you explain to me why Benjamin Netanyahu wielded to that pressure or caved to that pressure when he wouldn't in 2024? What had changed?
There was a different president. There was a Democratic president who was seen by the Netanyahu people as an adversary to the Israeli government and the Israeli state, someone who was hostile to Israel, even though that was not true whatsoever. Biden had a lot less leverage on Netanyahu than Trump does. There's no way that Netanyahu can say no to Trump. And it's a projection of American power that Trump brings to the table that was absent during the Biden administration. And Netanyahu himself is aligned with the philosophy, with the worldview of the Trump Republican Party. Mm-hmm. So we have a situation where Trump is a power politician. He's a businessman who makes deals by putting a piece of paper and a gun on the table. And that's how he works. It's really something that we haven't seen in international diplomacy and the negotiations before. It's a totally new style, but maybe it's the new style that the Middle East has been lacking all of these years.
So tell us a little then about, and I ask you this question knowing that, you know, some of the detail is just not available to anyone at this stage, but how do you see this playing out? Let's talk about the weapons that Hamas possesses. Do you expect really going to give them up?
Well, I think there's going to be a decommissioning process, somewhat similar to what happened in Northern Ireland. They won't give up their weapons to Israel, but they will give their weapons up to a Palestinian security force supported by Egypt and perhaps others. I think there are mechanisms that have been talked about and agreed to. We're not talking about Hamas giving up every single gun that they have. The Americans have talked about it, something like weapons that have the ability to kill more than five people at one time. So we're talking about those kind of weapons. We'll see. It'll be a process, and it's not easy. But certainly the people of Gaza want it to happen because they want Hamas finished. They don't want Hamas threatening them anymore. And Hamas knows that they have to change course now. They've lost their ability to control and govern Gaza.
And the ceasefire monitoring, what do you expect that to look like?
Well, we're going to have this international presence that's going to be there, made up of various countries with, a few thousand personnel who are going to be there on the ground to help establish law and order. They're not going to be a force that's going to be confronting Hamas. That's going to be the job of the Palestinian security forces to do. And Hamas is going to have to control their own people. But it will be a stabilizing force. It will help to the new Palestinian government that will be there, help to establish law and order. There's going to be a movement of people as money is brought in to set up more organized tent camps, cities for the people while the Gaza reconstruction begins. This is going to be a long process. And the international presence will be there to assist.
Gershon, thank you very much for your time. Gershon Baskin there on the Gaza ceasefire. And as we see, the Israelis have confirmed that ceasefire is now in operation since 9 o'clock this morning, although the Israelis are warning Palestinians that it is extremely dangerous to move around in certain parts of Gaza as of now, in particular from north to south. And we know there are so many Gazans who are hoping to get back to what remains of their home. So there is some way to go, but it does look, doesn't it, very hopeful this morning. Gershon Baskin is co-founder and co-director of the Alliance for Two States. We'll take a break. We'll be back after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.